Jeremy, Katie, and Josh.
Mix 100.
I am so happy right now. I'm so happy.
What happened?
He-Man's on Prime, Masters of the Universe. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's free. Like, if you have Prime, you can just watch it. I was watching it during that song.
Are you going to watch it in your He-Man PJs today?
I'm so happy.
I love that.
I'm
Yay,
so
Jeremy.
Happy.
It's He-Man Day.
It's He-Man Day on Prime.
Yay.
You don't even know. I might just watch that today for no reason
you
at
should.
All.
You should.
I may watch it too.
You should. It's
okay.
It's a good movie. I can't believe nobody went and saw it. It's so good. Anyway, that's nothing to do with anything right now.
But it makes you happy.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got to talk about it.
I was watching it on my phone.
You sure
now
were.
I got to do this silly radio show.
I know.
I might play another song so I can keep watching it.
Songs for the rest of the hour.
Songs for the rest of the show. Hey, listen, coming up right around 8:20 or so, we're going to be opening the phone lines and having you guys sound off and call in about the worst neighbor that you ever had, all based off a Netflix show that's going on right now. So be thinking about it. If you've ever had a horrible neighbor in your life, we're definitely going to want your calls and comments coming up a little later here, right around 8:20 or so with JKJ. All right, so what's this Franklin effect you're raving about?
Well, because here's the thing. Like, have you ever been in the situation where somebody, like, compliments something you're wearing or something that you have on, right?
Every day.
And immediately it's just like you like that person a little more. Mm-hmm. It just, like, kind of catches you, like, a little bit like, huh. Well, Benjamin Franklin, he kind of thought differently. He thought the exact opposite would work, and it kind of did. Ben Franklin would ask enemies for small favors to make them like him. They actually call it the Franklin effect. And he said, stop pleasing people. Instead, inconvenience them, and that will make them like you. So here's the story behind it. It was in 1737. He had a very powerful enemy in Pennsylvania's parliament, right?
Okay.
So instead of flattering him, he asked to borrow a rare book from his personal library. Now, the man was surprised, but he said yes, and a week later, they were lifelong friends. This story goes on to say that they were very close. At this moment, it was what brought them together, and he actually cracked a bug in human psychology. The person who did you a favor will do another one. Okay, they say we try and buy our loyalty with gifts and kindness, but the real currency is requests, not rewards, and it's pure cognitive dissonance at work. So
I could see this.
Here's why. Because the brain refuses to hold two contradictions at once. It cannot say, I hate him and I helped him.
Yep, right.
So it resolves the conflict. It rewrites the story for you. It says, I helped him, so he must be worth it.
And it makes you feel that, wow, this person came to me for something. I have something they needed.
They did it.
So
yes.
I almost feel superior in a way,
exactly.
A little bit.
Well, and if you're more inclined to help someone again if you've already helped them one time, as opposed to if someone keeps asking you for help and you're offering and offering, you start to kind of despise that person. Where now, if they come to you and ask you for help and you have helped them that one time, you're more inclined to do it again and keep helping that person. Win. And Ben Franklin came up with this by doing that to the enemy. And it's brilliant.
I really love it. It is. And if you think about it, like, we love people for the good we did them, and then we resent people for the harm we caused them. So if you act like a doormat, you become convenient, useful, but never respected. So in relationships, they say that this plays out without exception. Like, people don't value what costs them nothing. The IKEA effect proves it. A crooked chair you built yourself feels like a masterpiece. Make people invest action and their perception of you shifts. So this was just fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. And I've tried to
It goes
play
against
it out.
Kind of all logic, right?
It really does. It goes against all logic, but it makes total sense also, right?
It's like, almost along the lines of the whole keep your enemies closer, right?
Yes!
Keep your friends close, your enemies closer, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So you're actually keeping that enemy closer by asking them to assist you. They feel some sort of power in that they were able to help you.
And also, like, you asking them signals a type of confidence.
Well, it's
that, and you're almost like
inferior.
Submissive. Yes.
Yes.
And inferior to them.
Yes.
Like, oh, well, you need something from me.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
exactly.
It makes you feel, gives you that a little adrenaline boost.
It puts them on a pedestal and makes you kind of think, hey, you know what? Maybe I am better than this person because they're coming to me. Like, they see me as better.
And then
know?
They kind of get to know you, and then things play out. And then you actually are like, you know what? I kind of like this guy.
Exactly.
Instead, I hate him.
So you're
we should put his face on money.
You're changing their perception of you. And it's all very... you know, calculated, manipulative almost in a way, but...
I got to try this. Who do I hate around here? Doesn't that instantly get you thinking about, okay, oh my God, who do I hate and who do I not get along with and what can I ask them for?
No, they're saying like every small request builds a quiet dependency, like you said, you know? It's just like they've helped you, so now they're rooting for you.
Like say you hate, say you hate your office manager at work. Maybe you go to them and say, hey, can I get some disinfectant wipes or something?
Can I get
this? It's like baby steps.
Or maybe could you help
me? And then before
me?
You know it, you're like, hey, can you watch my dog?
And here's the thing is maybe not ask them for something they're already used doing for you. Like our office manager is already used to doing that for us. Maybe go to them and say something like, hey,
can you help
me like break down this email?
Oh.
Like I don't quite can you help me with this? You know what I mean? Like you make them feel like they, like you said, are a little
smarter
superior,
or something. Yeah.
But also like... they're helping you, and that makes them feel good, too. Like, when we help people, it gives us a feeling of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they associate that with you as well. Like, I felt really good when I helped them last time. Mm-hmm.
I'll do it again.
You know? So, yeah, I love it.
I kind of like it.
Like it? Okay.
You're going to have to really, I think, work hard at trying to reverse your thinking.
Yeah.
When it comes to people that you don't like and you don't want to be around and you don't want to ask for help from, you're going to have to really rewire your brain to make this work.
It positively impacts each party, right?
That's the thing. I think
if it works, it's going to work in a big way.
When it works.
It doesn't negate the fact, though, that he still wanted to make the nation's bird a turkey, right?
We can't forget that, Ben. Sorry.
I'm not going to let that go, Benny boy. Yeah. But other than that, this is pretty solid advice.
Okay, good.
Pretty good. There you go. Making me a little smarter and a little wiser this morning. Yesterday on the show, I was talking about a Netflix show that I just started watching, and it really intrigued me, really caught my eye. It's called Worst Neighbor Ever, and it's a 4-part docuseries on Netflix right now. Here's the titles of the 4 different episodes. Number 1 is She Finally Snapped. And then you go into Midwest Meltdown, into Fear Thy Neighbor, and then The Executor.
Yeah.
And it's all really intense, heavy stuff. When it comes to the world of horrible neighbors, I actually just finished episode 1 last night. There was a murder involved, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nutty.
It's deep.
But it's a good show. It's just one of those you're like, how in the world does this stuff go on out there?
Well, and you can't pick your neighbors. It's not like they go throughout the community and get a consensus on people whether they want somebody joining the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It just happens, and then you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So,
or like if you're house shopping and you move into a new hood, you don't know what you're going to get you know, around you. You really don't.
Like,
sometimes it's horrible.
Do people check what their neighbors are like before they buy homes? Like, is there a way to do that?
I will tell you that when we were looking and somebody would be outside, like maybe watering their lawn or their bushes or something, I had no problem wandering up and saying, hey, how are you? How's the neighborhood?
Yeah,
you know, any complaints?
Yeah,
a lot of kids on the street.
Yeah.
You know? And you kind of get some dirt. We actually bailed out of a house that we were going to buy because we were there for the inspection. And I just happened to be out front, and the next door neighbor was there, and he was out, like, washing his car or something. I was like, hey, how are you? We made an offer and all that. He goes, oh, it's a great house. It's a perfect house. He's like, the only problem is, boy, when it rains, that whole front yard, you should see the bubble that comes up under the grass. He's like, there's something about the drainage with that house that the entire front lawn bubbles up. He's like, you can see it. He's like, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Hey, thanks for that information.
Yeah.
We actually backed out of that house.
Well, I wouldn't want to deal with a grass bubble.
Like a giant water bubble in my front yard. I'm like, geez, I'm just asking for foundation issues.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about, foundation issues. We're talking about horrible neighbors. So if you've ever had one, phone lines are going to be wide open right now. 303-691-1MIX, 303-691-1MIX. 1649. And yesterday after I talked about this Netflix show, Tiffany wrote us and she says, hey, Jerry, I heard you talking about that Netflix show about the worst neighbors. Get this. We have one couple on our street that we've barely spoken to in 6 years. We realized a few years ago that we don't see eye to eye politically. She's like, there was never screaming or anything like that. We just had different signs in our yards during election season. Well, ever since then, they have installed what has to be 7 or 8 security cameras around their property, with a lot of them aimed straight at our house. They even mounted 2 of them way up in the trees so they can see over our fence and into our backyard.
Oh, no.
We're being watched constantly, she says. She says, also, last fall, I happened to look out my kitchen window, and the husband was blowing leaves out of his yard, but instead of bagging them up, he was angling the leaf blower so they all ended up in our yard, and I watched him do it for about 15 minutes.
Oh.
When he was finished, he looked around, went back in his garage, and acted like nothing ever happened. She says, here's another strange part. The husband over there keeps writing in this little handwritten notebook. He has it with him all the time. Anytime someone on our street has company over or gets a package, has work done on their house, or parks in front of somebody else's house, he stands there and writes things down. And then he sends them all to the HOA. These long complaint emails, he's documenting everything.
Oh, what a pain.
What a weirdo this guy is. She ends by saying, I've lived in a lot of neighborhoods over the years. I've never lived next to someone who makes the entire street feel uncomfortable. Love the show. And that's Tiffany from Aurora. That would get super annoying.
Absolutely.
That's a horrible neighbor right there.
Yeah.
What's with the trees and the cameras up in the trees?
He must be a heck of a time at parties, huh? Like, so fun.
What a dork.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines. You guys can text us. You can call in. We want to hear about your neighbors. Why are they annoying? Why are they horrible? 303-691-1MIX. 303-691-1649. Do you have any?
Oh, one. Like, as soon as we started talking about this, I went right back to when Zoe was a little baby. We had a condo in Arvada. So this was one of those areas where it was two houses. They looked identical, and they were split into four condos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the middle of this area was kind of like the courtyard for these townhomes. Like, we were all like one community, right? And three of us got along really well. We had parties together, our kids played together, and it was so much fun. But the one couple, and they were in the house attached to ours, of course. Oh, they constantly had the cops coming over. They fought all the time. They didn't pay their water bill ever. And because we shared a house, my water would get shut off consistently.
What? I mean, they could do that?
Well, they only lived there for like 4 months because the property management company that we all rented from, eventually they were like, okay, we got to get rid of these people. They're causing way too many problems. But those 4 months that they lived there, oh,
nightmare
problem
people.
And they were not nice. They were constantly just causing problems between everybody. I mean, it was just such a headache. And there's not a lot that you can do. That's
right.
What I realized in that moment is just like, I can't make that person pay their water bill. I can't make them get along so the cops aren't coming to our houses.
See, and that's
every
the thing.
Week.
When you watch the show, Worst Neighbor Ever on Netflix, that first episode, as you're watching it, you're like, why didn't the cops do anything about this crazy lady?
Yeah.
And
their
hands were tied.
Exactly.
Until she finally shot the neighbor.
Ah, like, don't let it get to that. But no, it can get pretty intense, and there's not a lot you can do.
Right. Well, let's talk about your guys' just crazy neighbors. Do you have any? What's going on? I've got no beef with none of my neighbors, and it feels good.
Oh, good.
You know how much like less stress that is to worry about, you know, what's going on in the neighborhood and everything?
Oh, I bet. I'm in the same boat. I have not spoken to one of my neighbors, and it's fabulous.
That's good.
It's so great.
That's really
good. I don't
know
any of them.
Hi, Sophia. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. So you got a horrible neighbor? You don't mention any names. Just tell us about it.
Yes, it was when I lived down in Houston, we had a neighbor two doors over who was allegedly selling meth out of the house.
Oh.
Her husband left her to go move to Japan as a doctor. So she moved in with her high school boyfriend, who was the cook at Waffle House across the street.
Well, I'm not mad at that.
Then she ended up moving in with the Waffle House guy. And during 2020, everyone was doing wine walks around the neighborhood, as one did.
Yeah.
And we discovered a family of kittens that was living in their house. So we contacted animal control. They came and ended up having to contact the police. And they had to go into the house with hazmat suits on because the entire thing was just covered
in the
cat feces and human feces. The entire floor, you could not see anything in the house whatsoever. And the icing on the cake was in her living room. She had a life-size replica of The Last Supper, literally just hanging from the ceiling, like not on the wall, just hanging on the ceiling.
What? What?
Wildest neighbor story I've ever heard.
And I was friends with Animal Control, so I was getting all of the, details of every single bit of it.
That's horrible. Like, you hate hearing those situations because of the animals and everything.
Absolutely.
Is it one of those things?
All the kittens got rescued, so it was a happy ending.
Was it one of those things, Sophia, where, like, nobody knew that that was going on inside that house?
Yep. It was all just like, oh, she's kind of weird, but whatever. Like, she just keeps to herself. And then
the
2020 happened and all of that. And we just made that discovery.
And then the house was covered with feces.
And there was a toilet in her backyard.
Oh, well, you know, as one does.
In the middle of the grass that was like 4 feet tall. Because she didn't live there. Because she moved in with Waffle House guys.
The Waffle House guy is my favorite part.
I guarantee you that was like your guys' code name for that guy in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Right?
A Waffle House guy.
Old Waffle guy over there.
Smothered and covered.
Sophia. This is what we're talking about. Yeah. Really, really appreciate you calling in. What a great story that was. Hi, Eliza. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're super dupes. Do you have a horrible neighbor?
Yeah. I mean, everyone's incredible. But it was about 2 years ago. I think we are moving, so we aren't having to deal with it anymore. But it's not because of this. Don't worry. But I don't think I've ever told anybody, like, around the neighborhood because it was so like confidential. Yeah. And so we have a neighbor, I think he's like in his 60s or something, and he lives alone, and he was leaving town, and he told us to look after pop in and like feed his like 20 cats. And they're all they're all like crazy. It was the funniest, like weirdest thing to ask. And he's not offering any money. He was just like, please look after my babies. Like, please. And he honestly doesn't like our family a lot. Because when we had like construction, we had this big dumpster on the side of our house that like was in his yard, I guess. I don't know. And so he would like yell at us for that. And so now he's expecting us to feed 20 like little demons. I don't know.
Well, did you do it? Did you go in his house and feed the little demons?
Yeah. So basically, would like go into his house and they're like all over on the couch, like ripping up the couch, and like it was just like a dumpster fire. Like it looked like it was like rotting for 20 years. I mean, I've never gotten in his house before because I don't go talk to people like that. Obviously.
This is the strangest call ever.
and we go over there and like go over there and like feed them, and then like we were leaving and like almost all of them started running outside the house. And it was like,
herding cats.
Right. It was, we were like walking them. And we had to like get them all back inside. They like ran it in the cul-de-sac. But anyway, and then he like came home. We didn't tell him any about that. But anyway.
You just keep going. You got a lot of energy today.
Wait, did you get all of them though?
Were
you
able to
get
them all?
Yeah,
she said she got them all.
All of them?
She said she did.
Yeah. Yeah, we got them all back.
Jeez.
Hey, I got one question for you. Did you finally move that ugly dumpster?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank God. That's the cherry on top. Eliza, thank you so much for that phone call today.
That's funny.
I kind of want to run out the door after talking with her.